Archie, would you open with prayer, please?
The most knowledge.
Father, we just come before you now and praise your holy name, Lord. We thank you for your word and the richness that's in it, and all of Paul's writings that just speak so richly. We ask now that you will open our minds, but also open our hearts, that we will truly take in your word and be with Pastor Steve. We thank you now in Christ's powerful name. Amen.
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 So, I stopped reading fictional books when I was 18 years old, because I figured out what you can do. You can go to the first page and read the basic setting, and then you go to the last page and figure out what happened. And then all the rest is just filler, so why bother reading the book? Well, that's kind of what I'm going to do here. I'm going to give you an overview of the point of the book of Galatians and what the fruit of the Spirit means. And this is really what Sanderson does. Do you all have the book?
Yes.
No. Jackie needs one.
Yes. Well, I ordered some, so... And it's all the Postal Service's fault that we didn't get them. Because the people didn't put them in the mail, and the Postal Service didn't deliver them. So why didn't the Postal Service deliver them? I don't... What's that?
Because they weren't put in the mail.
No, no, it's the Postal Service's fault, don't you know? Do you get it? You don't think this happens. People do this all, you know, that, well, it wasn't put in the mail. But I didn't think, yes, anyway. So, I'm going to give you the right answer, but I want you to look at the wrong answers, because that's what a lot of the book of Galatians deals with. Before we get back to the right answer, which is in Galatians chapter 5. God gives us his grace. What's the result of God's grace?
Salvation.
Salvation. And when we are saved by the work of Jesus Christ, what do we produce?
Good works.
Good fruit. We do good. I don't like to say good works because people get confused by that term, believe it or not. But we do good. And if you get that, that's what the book of Galatians is about. You can all go home. Okay. Now, other people believe that if you do good, that you should get salvation. And because you have salvation, that God will give you his grace. Can anybody think of a religion or a church that teaches this?
Mormon.
Catholicism.
Well, maybe. Buddhism is a good example of this. They think that if you do good, that you will lose yourself in the overall consciousness, and you will become a non-entity, which is to become one with the universe. I know that's a simplification, and most Buddhism is just outright idolatry. Now, Buddha was actually a lot smarter than modern Buddhists, but... I mean, I don't believe in what Buddha taught, but at least what he taught made sense. He said that if you do good, that your level of consciousness will be raised and you will become one with the universe, and so you receive more grace for the next life and eventually escape the physical realm.
Confucius, the same right idea.
Yes, exactly.
Did you say Confucius?
Other people believe that you become saved. And because you get saved, for example, I went forward, I decided to follow Jesus, and because I decided to follow Jesus, God gave me his grace. Right? No, but they believe this. And because God gave me his grace, ends up the same way, I have the fruit of the Spirit. Because I chose to follow, I mean, you know, God was, and I'm not making this up, God was wringing his hands in heaven, wishing that I would come to faith in Jesus, but he couldn't force me to do anything. And so when I finally made the decision to let him into my life, and I gave my life to Jesus, that he decided to give me...
Which God was this?
Exactly.
The person I'm quoting is a fellow named Talbot. Has anybody ever heard of him? Talbot was the guy that Talbot Theological Seminary is named after, and
never heard of that one.
Yeah, but he's a nice guy. Am I sending all these people to hell? No.
He did it himself.
No.
That's up to God.
How do we get into heaven?
God's grace.
And when we trust in Jesus, so if someone trusts in Jesus, even if their theology is messed up, but we're going to get to this in just a second because I'm not letting them off the hook. Even if you have messed up theology, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to go to hell. So don't get this, you know, like, oh, well, look, they don't believe in all the things we believe. So obviously they're not Christian, but no.
It takes a lifetime to get that stuff straightened out here.
Other people believe that you get God's grace, and because God gives you his grace, you are able to do good, and because you are able to do good, you therefore deserve salvation. Now this...
Deserve?
What?
Deserve?
Now, that was a brilliant comment on the postmaster's part.
Deserve, so...
But and it really is. They really think that you earn salvation. But it's only because of God's grace. And because of God's grace, you do good. And you're going to say to yourself, now, I heard some people say that they think that this is Mormons. Sorry. I think, you know, and again, I'm not sending anybody to hell. That's not my job. If you want to do that, that's well. So let's go to the book of Galatians. Yes.
What do you say to someone that says to you, God predestines and knows who is going to pick him?
Say that one more time.
He knows you would choose God, not that he's going to.
So that's this one, really. Because he knows that you're going to choose him, you're going to decide to follow him. And because he knows you're going to decide to follow him, he's going to give you his grace, and you're going to do good. Which is really cool. I mean, you know, it means you get to go to heaven. But it's not really the biblical. Okay, let's go to Galatians chapter 1, and also chapter 1 in Sanderson's book. Would you have liked being in the church at Galatia? Trick question. Well, on the one hand, I don't think the people in the church in Galatia were really bad people. I mean, what were they trying to do? So, Galatians chapter 1, if somebody could read verse 6, please.
Marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel.
So what does he call the belief of the people in the church in Galatia? What does he call it?
Gospel.
I'm sorry, what?
A different gospel.
And you're turning away from what? From Christ. But not only from Christ, but also from his...
Grace.
That's where you start. And the problem is, in the church of Galatia, not that they didn't talk about Jesus, not that they didn't read the Bible, or, you know, you could have gone into one of their worship services and thought you were in an Orthodox Presbyterian church. I mean, seriously, I don't think that would have been immediately obvious that there was a problem in this church. But what does verse 7 say?
Which is not another... There are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ.
Why does he say it's not another?
Because there's only one.
Because there's only one. And what does the word gospel mean?
Good news.
I'm sorry?
Good news.
That's why it's not another gospel, because there's only one good news. Everything else is bad news. If you have to do good in order to be saved and merit God's grace,
we'll never make it.
Okay, now, you need to understand, when I comment about other religions, I'm not saying that everybody in these other religions is going to hell. I'm not saying that everyone in these other religions actually believes what their church apparently teaches. But, what's the best example? You need to think about this. What's the best example of somebody who did good and deserved salvation and therefore merited God's grace? In fact, earned lots of God's grace.
Jesus.
The Virgin Mary.
Oh, okay.
Because she was born sinless. That's what the Immaculate Conception is about. Did you know that?
Mary was sinless?
Mary was born sinless. That's the Immaculate Conception. Do I hear any Catholics saying Hail Mary? That's the Immaculate Conception is not that Jesus was born sinless. It's that Veronica, who is the mother of Mary, gave birth to a sinless daughter. It was, you didn't know that? See, we have people here who are too clever. We have people here who are too clever. Because Pete just nailed it. What did he say?
Veronica would have had to have been sinless.
Veronica. Because the idea was that Mary had to be without sin in order to give birth to a son who was without sin. But Veronica should have been without sin to give birth to a daughter who was without sin. And I don't even know if there's a Catholic teaching about the mother of Veronica. But the idea there is that because she was so good, she deserved salvation. And not only did she deserve salvation, but she merited God's grace to such a degree that she can actually hand out God's grace to others.
If she's without sin, why did she call Jesus her Savior? She wouldn't have needed Savior.
Because
he's not the
he
one
is her Savior, problem. Savior in this.
If she was without sin, she wouldn't have needed a Savior.
Yeah, you know, what do you want me to do? Argue for the Catholics? They would probably say, well, Savior in the general sense. You know, just like Jesus was baptized, Mary talked about her Savior, but it's talking about the Savior. And not just her Savior, but my Savior, because he's come to save the world. Anyway, but she gives grace, and because she gives grace, then she can give it to others. And so, when you pray to Mary, do you follow this?
You're praying for her to save you, not Christ.
No, you're praying for her to give you grace so that you can trust in Christ. Are you following me? If I said this to a Catholic priest, they'd say, that's right. She gives you grace, and now you can trust it. But wait a second. Who gives you the grace to trust in Jesus? Mary. And if Mary gives you the grace to trust in Jesus, who's your real Savior?
Yeah. What better way to get to the Son than through the mother?
Ah, yes.
Let me ask you a quick question. Where is Galatians? Is this Gentiles? Galatia. Gentiles?
It was actually a mixed church.
Okay.
So it's in South, or what is modern today, Eastern Turkey.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So,
are we there?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Not in the city of Galatia, but in the province. But let's look at verse 8 of Galatians chapter 1. Somebody?
But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed.
And now, read verse 9.
As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed.
What did he just do?
Cursed
Jesus.
Yes, but he just repeated himself. And that's very disturbing, except to us first grade teachers, because what do first grade teachers do? They constantly repeat and usually when something is repeated, especially in the same context, it's because it's of ultimate importance. It's not like, you know, don't touch that wire. I said, don't touch that wire, because you don't want the person to be electrocuted. Well, in this case, if we are an angel from heaven, what's the name of that angel?
Jesus.
Gabriel.
Michael.
Oh, come on, guys. Moroni.
There's Harold.
Oh, you guys. You need to open yourself. Yes.
Well, for Gabriel, you have the false Gabriel that Muhammad discussed with.
Satan comes as an angel of light.
So I was in the at La Iglesia de Nuestra Señora del Pilar in Sevilla, Spain, and you know and I get in line, and we're all walking up to this tree stump, and it's really cool, and it's all covered in gold, but you can put your finger through the hole and touch the tree stump. Well, why can you touch the tree stump? Because that's the tree, Nuestra Señora, La Iglesia de Nuestra Señora de Pilar. That the pillar was the tree stump that the Virgin Mary appeared to this little girl on. And we're supposed to touch the tree stump because that'll give us one day of indulgence out of purgatory. There's a
they
sign.
They still do that? Oh, yeah.
I walked up, I looked at the gold-plated tree stump, and I started walking away, and this old lady grabs me, and she says, touch it, you know.
Say it in Spanish.
Tóquelo. But what's the point? They believe that the Virgin Mary was on the Virgin of Guadalupe. Mexicano sangrito. Anyway, they believe that she appeared to Juan, you know, and that because she appeared to Juan, that we should believe in the Virgin of Guadalupe. So we've got all these different traditions of angels and people having dreams and such like that.
Crying statues. They were carrying one all over the United States at
right.
one point.
Now, You can get your rocks ready. Are you ready to? Everybody's got a rock? I've got a defense here, too. I actually believe that God can use dreams to influence people. Now, see, there's the Mexican attitude, which is if I have a dream, I have to believe it and do everything it says. That's wrong.
You'd be in trouble. You have weird dreams.
There's American attitude, which generally is I don't have to pay any attention to my dreams. You know, just ignore them. It was just a dream. My attitude is somewhat in the middle. If you have a dream, so if an angel appears to me and says, "Preach the gospel," is that a possibility?
Yeah.
Is that a possibility that an angel could appear to me and say, "Preach the gospel"?
What would be the point? Because the scripture tells you to exactly. preach the gospel.
Reinforce what the scriptures say or remind me what I should be doing that I already know I should be doing. So I'm not against, I'm not saying that you have to believe this. I'm not against dreams and people considering it. But what does the Lord say here? If you an angel from heaven preach another gospel than that which we have preached to you, let him be
accursed.
The word is anathema. The word anathema is more severe than accursed. It means set aside for destruction. You know, it's like, you know, just put him over there until the fire hits him. So it's when people say, well, everybody's entitled to their opinion. No, they're not. And what are we to preach? Well, we're to preach, and we're going to see later on in this passage, any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you. The apostles were sent by Jesus, and Paul is an apostle born out of time. They were sent by Jesus to preach the gospel. And any other gospel, the person who preaches it or supports it or even allows it to be preached, that person deserves. Well, let's go on. And so somebody read verse 10.
Or do I now persuade men of God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ.
So who is the apostle who's writing this epistle to the church in Galatia? Who is he trying to please?
God.
Not men. And that's the whole point, and we're going to be getting into that when we get into the fruit of the Spirit and all. But we're, all this is introduction. So verse 11.
That I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not according to man.
So we have this group. I don't know if my wife says they came to our house a couple of weeks ago, and I was so disappointed that I wasn't there, and she wouldn't open the door. But we have this group that goes around preaching a gospel according to man, because their basic reliance is on human reason. This group is called the Watchtower. Now, they carry Bibles and they quote from the Bible, but their appeal is actually to reason. In other words, when you get, you know, they say, well, it doesn't make sense that Jesus is God. Guess what? It doesn't matter if it makes sense. Are you following me? Now, I believe in logic. In fact, logic, I think, is biblical. Logic comes from God and all of that. But when you begin with reason as the basis for your religion, then what does he say here? He says that the gospel which was preached to me is not according to man. There's a way, you know, there's lots of things that are logical. And people will come to you and say, well, is it fair that God, blah, 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 blah. You know, that God chooses some and doesn't choose. Is it fair that some people go to heaven and other people don't? Is it fair? You know, what they mean is it, when they say fair, what they mean is it logical? And you can play the logic game a lot. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the Watchtower people, for example, you know that they believe in evolution, right? They believe in evolution. They don't believe in six-day creation out of nothing.
Why? They don't believe in Genesis?
No, they believe that animals evolved over millions of years and all that. But why do they do that? Well, because it's logical. Because it makes sense.
Really, it doesn't.
It doesn't make sense.
I agree. I agree it doesn't make sense. But you understand their source of authority here is not the Word of God. Their source of authority. And I used to subscribe to Despertar. What is it called? Awake. It's a publication of the Watch. And they have whole editions of their magazine, Awake, where they talk about, they show pictures of dinosaurs and how man developed over the years and blah, 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 blah. And that all makes sense because it's logical according to the teachings of men. Yes.
So what did they do with the account of creation?
Well, you know, God one day chose one of the higher animals and made it into a man, you know, that kind of thing. You didn't know that about the Watch?
No, I didn't.
Fascinating. But wait a second. Why do they do that? Well, they do that because their religion is not based upon
the
Word of God. And they can, and many Christian churches end up doing that. So let's read verse 12.
But neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Look what he says. I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it. Was Paul taught by the apostles?
No.
Sure he was. Yeah, he was.
He just rejected the
verses. He went to Jerusalem. He was instructed.
But after.
And Ananias and Barnabas.
Hear what he considered blasphemy before his conversion. So
right.
He was hearing the gospel and then persecuting those preaching.
So why does he say, I neither received it from man nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ? Why does he say that?
Because of the
revelation. More than that.
They used 3 years learning from somebody.
The reason he believes the things he believes is not because people taught it to him. In other words, if you go out of here and say, Pastor Elijah said, my answer would be, so what? Yes, but if you say, it says in the Bible, and I'd rather say, it's God says in his word, such and such and so, then I have to respond to that.
Paul knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, he couldn't tell. But this man was caught up to the third heaven and saw and learned unspeakable things.
Yes. And Paul received direct revelation from God, not only on the road to Damascus, but on other occasions, presumably, when he was taken up to the seventh heaven and all that. But yes.
I was just thinking how Adam and Eve, when God said, don't eat from this certain tree. That tree was like every other tree, wasn't it? I mean,
as far as we know.
Yeah, as far as we know. So it was kind of, it's kind of a matter of, I mean, Christians do believe in some weird things. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we? Because God
says, yes, if God said, you know, it's like with your parents. Your parents taught you well. They said, do this and don't do this. But the ultimate answer from your parents was, why can't I do it? Because I said so. Why don't we kill other human beings? Because they're made in the image of God. Genesis chapter 9. But we don't need to know that. What we need to know is that God said not to kill other human beings. So we don't kill other human beings without just cause. Okay, so if you go in the book and look on page 16, he describes the way that the Galatians were applying the word of God. Basically, what the Galatians were saying is, you must keep all of the Old Testament law in order to be pleasing to God. Did it mean that you couldn't be saved without keeping the Old Testament law? Maybe. But he was attacking throughout the book of Galatians this way of thinking. And so if you go back to Galatians chapter 1, somebody read verse 13.
For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it.
So if you were being a good Jew, and Paul is saying, I was being a good Jew. So as a good Jew, what did I do? Persecute. And so verse 14 of Galatians chapter 1.
And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions.
Okay, now, here we get a little off. Is Judaism the religion of the Old Testament, or is Judaism the traditions of the fathers?
Well,
wait, which is it? So, for example, if your parents are dying, you can't help them because you've dedicated everything you own to God. That's Korban. Is that biblical?
No.
So which is right, the tradition or what the Word of God says? Well, in verse 14, what he's saying is exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. You know, and here he's drawing the distinction between biblical Judaism and traditional Judaism. Do you all know what traditional Judaism is? Are Jews today waiting for the Messiah?
Yes.
Donna says no. And I think Donna's right, because I've talked to lots of Jews, and I've asked them, are you waiting for the Messiah? And they say no.
Why?
Because the Messiah is the liberation of the nation of Israel from the enemy. It's not a person. It's a movement. It's Zionism. And so Israel will become a nation, and so we'll be saved from their enemies. And yeah, there are some. Do modern Jews think of the Old Testament as their only source of authority?
No.
No, not at all. The kosher laws. What was the original kosher law? The original kosher law. You couldn't boil a calf in its mother's milk. And that makes perfect sense, because it's like an insult to the mother, even though it's just a cow. You know, she gave birth to this calf, and now you're boiling this calf in the mother's milk. Nah, it's just an insult to the way that God has made creation. And so modern Jews have to keep separate plates for dairy and for meat because of that one law. Are you following me? That's what keeping kosher in modern Judaism means. It is so far separated from the original command, which was don't boil a calf in its mother's milk. But my wife and I have kept kosher. Not in our house, but in Jewish households when we were quite young and caring for kosher families' kids, and we had to keep separate plates for the, you know, meat and the milk, and you know the. But then we could go out to McDonald's shoes
and have a cheeseburger.
Yes,
with the kids. The kids could have the cheeseburger too in McDonald's, not in the house.
But the point is that Paul was zealous for the traditions of the fathers, and so we see that. And here you.
So the cheese had to do with milk. They couldn't go together. Is that what you're saying?
That's what modern Orthodox Judaism absolutely prohibits, eating milk and meat in the same meal.
So any kind of dairy is off-limits?
No, you can have dairy. You can have meat, but you can't have them.
And McDonald's you can.
The point is that, all right, was Mary a good Jew?
Yes.
The Virgin Mary. And she was looking forward to
coming Messiah.
The Messiah. Was Simon and Anna in the temple, were they good Jews?
Yes.
And they were looking forward
to the Messiah.
And Simon, when he saw the baby Jesus, he said, "Now let my soul depart in peace, because I have seen the salvation of my God." So these were good Jews, but they were not keeping the traditions of the fathers. And that's what Paul is saying here in verse 14. But let's go on to verse 15 of Galatians 1. Somebody?
"But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace..."
When it pleased God, and you notice he puts it all the way back to his birth, but he was separated, he was called holy by God from his mother's womb, and called me by his grace, and verse 16.
"To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood."
And verse 17.
"Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus."
Okay, so what is he saying? He's saying, from my mother's womb, he revealed his son in me. And in due time, of course. "That the Gentiles, that I might preach him among the Gentiles." But he didn't go and confer immediately with flesh and blood. He went for 3 years into Arabia, and then he went to Peter and spoke with him. But the point is that his gospel is not a gospel that comes from men. His gospel is a gospel that comes from God. It was revealed to him by God. And you're going to say, well, sure, the Galatians knew that. No, they didn't, because they were now perverting that gospel. Let's go to chapter 2. No, Galatians chapter 2.
Did he go there for 3 years? Is that the time?
Yeah. So verse 14.
Verse what, 1?
Galatians 2, 14.
"But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in the presence of all, if you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews?"
So here we're focusing in on the problem that was happening in the church in Galatia. And Paul is reflecting upon the fact that Peter had actually gone over to this, and that he too was being taken in by this. And so verse 15.
"We are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles."
This is a really strange verse. What does it mean by sinner in this verse? Yeah, he's a sinner in the general, but he means people who break the law of the Old Testament. People, we are Jews. We keep the law of the Old Testament. And Paul could have said, "I'm one of the good guys. I'm not a sinner like the Gentiles." But let verse 16.
"Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified."
So, and here you really get to the point of the book of Galatians, and that is, a man is not justified by the works of the law, because if you could be declared righteous by the works of the law, who could be declared righteous? Well, Paul could be declared righteous. And so he says, you're not justified by the works of the law, but by what? Faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law, no flesh will be declared righteous, will be justified. And that was the problem with the church in Galatia. They had become a church of Jesus Christ, but now they were going back to this concept that a man or a woman could be justified by, or made more righteous by keeping the works of the law. Yes?
Would you say with that would be Peter's repentance in siding with the Judaizers? His statement there, would you say that would be Peter's repentance of repenting from siding with the Judaizers? Or
yes.
In favor of them?
Yes. But, verse 17.
But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not.
So, what's the problem with seeking to be justified by doing good?
You can't.
I'm sorry, what?
You can't do it.
You're both right. You can't do it. And if you're trying to do it,
you're taking away the word of Christ.
You're taking away Christ. And it's either salvation by your good works, or it is through Christ. And the church in Galatia had started with Christ. But if you go back to Galatians chapter 1, he says, verse 6, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ. That is, they're turning away from this good news. Yes.
So Jews, prior to the coming of Christ, would have a sacrifice to atone for their sins. Jesus Christ's sacrifice was the ultimate sacrifice to do away with the old. And if Jews today don't believe in Christ, how are they atoning for their sins?
By their good works.
There's no temple, there's no altar to sacrifice on.
Next year in Jerusalem.
Do good. Do good.
That didn't work for them in the Old Testament.
Do
that
good.
Wasn't their law.
Do good.
And they've lost their temple, so they can no longer sacrifice.
But even their sacrifices didn't atone.
No.
The sacrifices.
Why do they do it every year?
The sacrifices were only for unintentional sins anyway, if you intentionally sin.
Yeah.
There's no sacrifice. So, in the Old Testament. So, who's going to, you know, they still don't have.
They don't intentionally sin today.
Okay, well, actually, I learned this from a Muslim man, but I think it's actually what a lot of Jews and a lot of other people believe. It's do more good than evil.
Do more good than evil, okay?
In other words, you're going to do evil, and you can't do much about that. You should fight it, but you really can't. And this really gets us to the point of fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is not something that we do. We'll think about that. It's not something we do. It's fruit of the Spirit is not something that we do. But they think that their good works are something they do. And therefore they gain merit. And when they gain merit, because they've done good works, God will look at them favorably. But you ask the good question, so what about their sins? Well, who says the good works pay for the sins? But even that, even if the good works do pay for their sins, is it enough payment? Yeah. If I owe a debt of 10 million sin talents. We have just invented a term, the sin talents. And I owe a debt of 10 million sin talents, and I do 1,000 good works. You know, Gabriel, who's going to judge me in the end, I guess, I don't know. And he's going to say, you've only got 1,000 good talents, and you've got 1,000,000 sin talents. It doesn't pay for it. Go to hell. You know, the problem is, you know, who makes these decisions? And it's not, because these are not truly biblical religions.
Out that
the way
the heart
gets
the
feeling. Right.
But wasn't Abraham saved by faith, and that faith was counted as righteousness?
No, you Christians are all alike.
Yeah, see, the whole concept, and it so contradicts knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, he's going to say the same thing again and again and again, but he's talking to first graders, and first graders have to be taught the same thing again and again and again. We're all first graders, believe me. We're all first, you know, I know that I was a first grader, but I still am, and you're all first. We need to keep, because we fall into this in our own lives. We do good, and we think, so I get salvation, and God is going to be good to me, because I did good. You know, and instead of saying, praise God, that I was, I send books to people, and they write me letters, and they say, thank you for the books, and I always say to them, it's only by God's grace, and it's a privilege to serve you in Christ Jesus, because if I don't say that, I know that God is not going to be happy. It's so easy to start taking credit for the good that you do and say, I deserve some reward for the good that I've done.
Well, I think that's really where, like in Catholicism, Mormonism, and even in Islam, you see that it's the work that I do or the work that we do in that as a collective even point, and Catholicism in that too. But like even with like Islam, there is no assurance for anything.
I have met Mormons that think they're going to heaven. I have never met a Muslim that thinks they're going to heaven. Never.
Scripture says, all my good works, no matter how good I do, are filthy rags.
You keep bringing this book up to us, and it just, it's very, very disturbing. Because, you know, now it's really easy to pick on the Mormons and the Muslims. I've heard Christians talk about how many souls they've won.
Yeah.
I've heard Orthodox Presbyterians talk about how many languages they speak and how many degrees from seminaries they've gotten and how many books they've written, and you know, like that's supposed to somehow earn them merit before God. And
merit among men.
Well, exactly. You know, I'm not saying these are not good things to do, but
somebody told you how many souls they have saved?
It's the boasting part.
How many people have I led to Christ? And I've been asked that. How many people have you led to Christ? You know, and I'm like, you know, it's like you're taking credit for, you know, and in all of this. And even if you don't say it, and most people are smart enough and humble enough, or at least smart enough not to say it, they really do think that because God has given them grace, they can do good, and they deserve salvation. That's what the people think. It's not, you know, well, and if you say, well, you're not going to heaven, the answer is, Jesus loves me, this I know, and or I trust in Jesus. Those are the kinds of answers I want to hear. But instead, they say, well, I did this, and I did that. When you start saying, I did, it's all gone. And that's what the book of Galatians, yes.
I don't want what I deserve. I want mercy and grace.
Praise God.
Okay, now we didn't finish chapter 1, but nonetheless, you have homework. And your homework is on pages 19 and 20. And he has some really thought-provoking questions. Think about number one, and think of examples in your own life. Okay? All right, any comments, questions? Church directory, if you haven't signed up, if you haven't fixed up your information, fix it. What should we do?
Pray.
Who's praying? Is that in the corner? Somebody? Is Finn going to pray? No, okay. Who's going to pray? Go ahead.
Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we can have together to come together and worship and through the study to learn more about you and have a clearer understanding of the gospel. Allow for a good rest of the day and to be with pastors while they preach. In the evening, we pray. Amen.
Amen.